So if you're a parent and you're raising your children without the use of iPads, I applaud you. I don't know how you're doing that. iPads are magical. They are magical. They shut your children up at any time, day or night. My eldest, he wakes up at about 5:30 every morning. He just runs in. Morning! I'm like, not for me. And I just frisbee an iPad. Fuck off. 88% battery, that's you for 2 hours. Go on, lower the brightness. They're so lucky, our children. They've got iPads and iPods and iPhones. In our day, we had iSpy. How shit was our life compared to the lives our children get to enjoy today? iSpy with my little eye, something beginning with C. Is it cloud? No. Is it car? Yes. Your turn. What? I actually played Thumb War with my 10-year-old the other day to show him some of the games that we had to endure. I said to him, do you want to play Thumb War? He's like, shall I download it? No, you can't download Thumb War. This is a battle between my thumb and your thumb. You know, you interlock hands, you declare it, 1, 2, 3, 4, you don't go straight into battle. I declare Thumb War. Then you sort of jockey for position. Then you hold the other person's thumb down and then you're the winner. And I did it with my 10-year-old. He's got his little 10-year-old thumb. I've got my huge daddy thumb. I thought I'd go easy on him. But of course I didn't realise that he's been texting since he was born. He was some kind of thumb war ninja. I didn't even see his thumb moving. It's like a mini matrix. He just beating me over and over again. Ah, stop doing that. Get back on the iPad. But sometimes you need to use iPads. You see, it's a pacifier. You know what it's like. Parents know what it's like. Sometimes you need to calm your children down. You need a break. You need a break from your children. The best way, of course, to pacify your children, as we all know, is drugs. Actual drugs are the most effective. Calpol is the drug of choice for children. You give them Calpol when they have colds and runny noses and stuff. But there are side effects. You notice that it sort of calms them down, makes them more lucid. They sleep through the night. They become better people. You prefer them. So you find yourself almost hoping that they get slight little colds and things. Someone just needs to sneeze near my children. Achoo! I think we should give both children Calpol just in case. I remember the first time I gave my eldest Calpol. He was a little baby. We were so worried about it. My wife and I, we kept rereading the instructions, 1.5 mils. You know, apologising to his little runny nose. So, Mum and Daddy, we love you so much. We're so sorry to have to put this foreign substance into your body, but we wouldn't do it if we didn't love you. Within a few months, we're just hosing him in the face. Go to sleep! It's even more fun now, because you don't have to put it on spoons. Oh, it's so satisfying. They come with these little plastic syringes, and you just suck it up and squirt it in their little face like you're filling them up with petrol. Sometimes they don't even know I've done it. They're just watching telly with their mouths slightly hanging open. Just come in with a couple of loaded syringes. Right, that's the kids done. Come on, darling, let's go upstairs for some us time. Frisbee a couple of iPads in case they cotton on to the situation. My wife's actually got a belt with ready-made Calpol syringes holstered. She does other people's children after school. Well, thank you for that, guys. Call me in 4 to 6 hours if you need. And it's a wonderful moment in every parent's life when you find out the news that you can give your children Calpol and Nurofen at the same fucking time. You can double barrel this. See you next Thursday. Your mother and I are off to France on a mini break. And I even went to Dubai, which is very weird. I wasn't playing to the locals in Dubai. I was playing to expats. I think, basically, I sold a lot of tickets, but I think they were just getting out of the heat. I think it's really air conditioning that's the biggest draw in Dubai. Because I've been to Dubai in the summer, last summer, on holiday. The biggest mistake of my life. It is so hot that you can't actually believe they built it. It makes you quite angry. It's like an oven. You know when people go, it's like an oven? It is. That's the only other time I've experienced heat like this. Is you know when you leave the oven on a long time and you open it and it hits you in the face like that? And I've never at that moment thought, I want to go on holiday in there. What do you think, darling? You, me and the kids, 280 degrees C, fan assisted? I can't tell you how hot it was. There was a revolving door in our hotel. And when I revolved out from the air conditioning into the outside of Dubai, I literally just revolved straight back in. No, we cannot go out there. I can't tell you what it was like. There were people going through with frozen chickens and coming around with Sunday lunches on the other side. If the juice is unclear, then it is ready. More crispy, one more revolution, we'll do this. But obviously, when we're on holiday in Dubai, very dangerous for the children. I mean, the sun is so strong, it's very dangerous for the children. This is why I always have to put them in the shade. That's my responsibility. You know, as a father, that's my responsibility. I'm not married to a doctor, so I have to do things myself. And by the pool, it's always about moving these umbrellas. I've got these umbrellas, they block the sun, that's what they're for. And my children are on the bed like that, and my wife always goes, can you just move the umbrella, darling, and get the kids in the shade? Well, this is easier said than done. These umbrellas are the heaviest things in the world. You cannot just drag it to where you want to go. Oh, no. The only way to move it is you have to tilt it and twirl it like this. And twirl it, and keep twirling it, and twirl it again, and twirl, and then you end up where you started. You have to do a series of alternate tilts and twirls to try and reach your destination, and you find yourself moving further away. You don't know how to get to where you're going. My wife's like, where are you going? I'm trying to get to you. Will you let me try and work this out? I saw another dad get closer to my kids. Why don't you save my children and I'll try and get round to yours? I remember when I was checking in, this bloke came through reception with an umbrella like this. He was like, I'm not even staying at this hotel. I'm supposed to be in Sharm el Sheikh. Tell my wife I love her. My kids must have melted by now. But obviously, going on holiday, it's about getting away from the country. It's also about getting away from people as well. I want you to know that I love British people. I would never live anywhere but here. I'm one of you. I love you. I would never. But on holiday, I can't really stand you. There's something about Brits. I'm one of them, but I just feel so much better with foreigners because you feel like you're away. We seem to be quite whiny, don't we? By the pool, you're safe, safe, safe. I'm always like, I don't want to be on holiday with Dave. Dave, do you see my other flip-flop, Dave? I don't know, love, it's your flip-flop. Where did you last see it? I'm always like, oh, I don't like this. But you know, foreigners are having exactly the same conversations. It just sounds so much better coming from them. Davido, come la vale la flip-flop? Excuse me, Maria, la flip-flop, come la la tutto flip-flop. We're just lying there going, oh, it's so great to be away, isn't it? Loving it here. Even the kids. I don't want to be rude about our children, but foreign children, they seem to be amazing. They play all day, they have golden brown tans, they swim like dolphins. They dive into the water, you don't even see a splash, they just disappear and emerge at the other side of the water.
Oh, mamma, papa, la agua, it's a magnifico. Oh, mamma, la flippo-floppo, come la tutta flippo-floppo.
British children have so much cream on, you could see them from space. Love, basic. We like to baste the kids in cream. All in their eyes and in their noses and their mouths.
Come here, reluctantly. I don't like it, I don't like it.
And they don't just have armbands anymore. We like to put these flotation suits. They're the most buoyant things on earth. They're popping around with cream in their eyes. And the tightest goggles. There's something about goggles that once you over-tighten them, you can't reverse it. And they're always,
Daddy, can you get my goggles right?
But you can't do it. You fight with it for a while. Then you give up, pretend you've done it, and just strap them on that tight.
Ow, Daddy, that really hurts. Ow! Ow, the cream's dripping in my eye from the goggle.
Go on, make a friend.
I can't see where the pool is.
Foreign kids are just smoking cigarettes, drinking coffee.
Bambino inglese. Stupido.
Swimming is the big thing for us. I mean, seriously, compared to foreigners, it's absolutely hysterical. I've seen what foreigners do when they're by the pool and they need to swim. They get hot, they get up, and they get in. That's the process. Hot, up, in. Yeah, just doing lengths. Ciao, hot, up, in. That's it. Easy. It's an amazing thing. We can't do that, of course. We, as British people, need to enter into a whole process. First of all, we have to announce to all the British people we're with, I'm going in. You going in? Yes, I am going in. What's it like?
What's it like? Because going in doesn't actually mean going in. Going in means reviewing the temperature of the water
as everybody waits for the result, and it's always the same.
It's freezing!
What's it like? It's freezing! This is where you enter the next phase of the production. This is where there will already be a British person in the pool who will swim up to you and offer you some advice. This is actually advice that you've received on every previous swim of your entire life, and advice that you will receive on every future swim of your entire life. But it's advice at this very key moment means nothing to you at all. And that is that it is all right once you're in, but it means nothing.
So you might just get in. It's all right once you're in. It's actually quite warm in here. I was like you, but look at me now. But you don't believe a word of it. You give yourself maximum pain. You take it one step at a time. So many people just wait with the water around their waist, just complaining, trying to build the courage. I don't like it. It's frozen. It's frozen! Sorry, they just launch themselves in. It only takes about four strokes before they make their announcement. It's all right once you're in, for fuck's sake. We all told you this. The very fact there are people swimming happily in the pool implies that it's all right once you're in. It's not like you're standing there going, oh, it's freezing, and there are just blue bodies floating on the surface. I don't think it is all right once you're in. There are dead blue people in the pool, darling, dead blue people. We had this lovely man looking after us when we were on holiday in Dubai. I don't know where he was from. He was a tiny little person. He could never say my name as well as hello, Miss Makintakare, Miss Makiakintaka. Hello, Miss Makiaki. He did this thing where he made a swan out of the towel, out of the bath towel. It was amazing. My wife loved it. We came back to the room and there's a swan on the bed like that, made of towel. My wife's like, look at that man, did he? Made us a beautiful. Beautiful swan out of the towel. I use it now as an excuse when I leave my wet towels on the floor. Michael, why did you leave your wet towels on the floor last night? That is a platypus. How dare you criticise my early work? So I come out of the shower, I'm on holiday, and I go, there's no towels. The kids have used all the towels, typical. So I go and I reach for the swan, because it is a towel, first and foremost. My wife goes mental. Don't you dare touch that swan. That man made that beautiful swan and you're going to ruin it now like you ruin everything. And I'm like, but there are no towels. She's like, okay, fine, use it. But work around it, Michael. Don't ruin it. Don't spoil it. So I'm standing there, naked, drying myself on this swan like this. And the bloody man who made it walks in. Shit! I felt awful. When we left, I thought, I'm going to give him all my money that I had left, all the dirhams, you know, the currency for Dubai. And I worked it out to be 90 quid. I thought, I'm going to give him 90 quid. I don't care, it's been charming, he deserves it. And as I told him, as I shook his hand, I gave him the money, I went, you deserve this. And he just rolled his eyes and walked off. I was like, that's a bit rude, it's a bit weird. I felt a bit odd about it. And then, of course, on the plane, I worked it out that I had worked out the exchange rate wrong, and I actually gave him 9p. I gave him 9p. I gave him 9p, and I told him he deserved it as I gave it to him. I think of all the people in the world, he hates me the most, I think. Can you only imagine him getting home to his wife? I cannot believe Mr. McIntyre. He gave me 9p! You hit drugs his children, you know. He would leave syringes on the floor. I have to pick them up and say nothing as he drugs his children. They're on the iPad 24 hours a day. Mr. McIntyre is disgusting. And he fucked my swan. I hate him. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming out tonight. Thank you very much.